Well, yeah, here we are in week two of the Advent Conspiracy. If you're joining us for the first time, I want to catch you up briefly on what we're talking about. The Advent Conspiracy is basically a journey we are taking together with literally thousands of other churches all over the globe this year. And what we're doing is we're conspiring together between now and Christmas to really and truly enter the story of Christ's birth. And when we say that, what we mean is we're conspiring to be countercultural by saying no to the materialism and the consumerism that drives Christmas in the world around us, so that we can celebrate Advent in a way that's worthy of the King of Heaven. So we're striving to do four things. We're trying to worship fully. Trying to make Christ truly the center of everything we do at Advent. We're challenging each other to spend less. Doesn't mean not give gifts, but spend a little less. And the reason we're doing that is so that we can give more. And when we say give more, we're challenging each other to think about giving gifts that really matter. And gifts that are meaningful. Gifts that last. Lastly, we're trying to love all, just as God so loved the world that he gave his only son for us. We're trying to use some of the resources that we are saving by spending less to love others in the name of Jesus. Here's where it gets exciting. By spending a little less on gifts, we're going to make a difference in the world, a lasting difference, by using the money we save to do two things. In the week or two before Christmas, we're going to be collecting what we're calling the Advent Conspiracy Fund. And 100% of that money is going to go to do two things. It's going to feed the hungry right here through some of the local agencies that we sponsor. And it's also going to provide clean drinking water by digging wells in Malawi. Now, this is not an appeal for more money. This is an act of redistribution. We're challenging each other to spend less on ourselves and use that money to demonstrate the love of God to the hungry and the thirsty. Now, if you feel really passionate about one or the other of those, hunger or thirst, you'll have the chance to designate. But if you don't care, we're just going to split it 50-50. Last year, 1,000 churches participated in the Advent Conspiracy. We were one. And those 1,000 churches raised over $3 million to provide clean water in countries all over the globe and to meet local needs through agencies that those churches had existing partnerships with. Hope you'll join us in this journey. The Advent Conspiracy has resulted in some really thoughtful conversations about how we experience Christmas in our homes and in our families. It's also inspired some really amazing dreams about how we can make Christmas a life-changing, a world-changing event, just as it was that first Christmas when Christ was born. But you know what? There's a common thread I've heard from people as we've talked about all the things that we do and to give gifts and the lengths we go to show our children and our parents and our friends and family, to show them we love them. I've heard families describe literally the wall of presents that they have as a gesture of just loving their kids. On the movie we're going to watch on December 14th, there's this mom on there who says, "I don't care if I go into debt, it's for my kids." We know it's a gesture of love, but maybe you've felt this. I know I have. I remember so clearly sitting on the couch after all the presents are opened. I've gotten all these amazing gifts, and the feeling in my heart isn't gratitude. It's not thankfulness. It's really more of, is that it? It's over? There really is this sense that the more we get, the more we have, the less we care. This week, as part of the Advent conspiracy journey, we're asking a very simple question. How can we celebrate Christmas in a way that creates real thankfulness? What would it look like to show God how thankful we are? How can we help our families live thankfully? And as we head into Thanksgiving week, how can we make genuine thankfulness the core, the just deepest reality of our lives? Listen to the scripture that Chris Barr is going to read for us.
Hi. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And they went and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And when he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to the God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well."
Just one of the 10 came back to show his thankfulness. Just one. I read this, and I don't know about you, this is just kind of the way my brain works, but I immediately thought about the other 9. What was going on for them? I don't know how much you know about leprosy, but in the text when it says they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, you know why? It's because when you had leprosy, you were immediately shunned out of the community and you had to keep your distance. And they had a little camp out away from town. They couldn't come in town. And if they had to come in town for some reason or whenever they were walking, if there were other people near, they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," about themselves. They had to say that. "I'm unclean," so that others could keep their distance and not get anywhere near them. You can imagine how just completely destructive that had to be to how you felt about yourself. Unclean. They're the outcasts of society. And so there they are, as the outcast, calling out to Jesus as he walks by, "Jesus, have mercy." And Jesus does. What about the other 9, though? I can only imagine that given their condition as outcasts, suddenly made clean again, they had to feel thankful, right? I mean, what an amazing gift they got. And I wonder, what did they do? I can't imagine them doing anything short of dancing in the streets as they made their way back to their homes and families. What were they feeling? Was that real thankfulness? This story reminds me that real thankfulness actually does something. It doesn't just say something, it does something. Have you ever done this? Leaned over and whispered in your kid's ear, "Say thank you." And somebody did something. That's not thankfulness. It may be polite. That's not real thankfulness. Real thankfulness, that kind where you're really aware of the gift and of the giver, it does something. It responds with more than just words. In this story, the response is to returning to Jesus. He goes out of his way to come back and find Jesus and fall at his feet and then says thank you. So what's the difference between the 9 who probably were very thankful and went on their way and the 1 whose thankfulness led him to come back and do something? What's the difference? I think the difference is relationship. Real thankfulness, a truly thankful heart, it shows itself in the context of relationship. And the one who came back needed, wanted to be with Jesus, to say thank you in the context of face-to-face. You know what we're getting at the heart of Christianity here? It's tempting to think that we can show God our thankfulness by trying to be a better Christian. And what does that mean? I think our default answer is, well, we try to live a little better. It makes sense, doesn't it? We think, okay, I'm going to show God my thankfulness by trying to just, you know, do a little better. Would it be shocking for me to tell you that Jesus doesn't want you to do a little better? Dietrich Bonhoeffer is one of my favorite writers, and I've been reading him a lot lately. Here's what he said. We ask, how can I be good? How can I do good? But the follower of Christ must ask an entirely different question. That question is, what's the will of God? There's a subtle difference. I don't know if you see it. Jesus didn't come into the world, Bonhoeffer said, to impose an ethical rule. In other words, Jesus didn't come to give us a list of things to do. Jesus came to give us whole relationships. And it starts with a whole relationship with God. So when the one leper comes back and throws himself at the feet of Jesus to say thanks, that action is all about relationship with Jesus. Throwing himself at Jesus' feet, that's an act of honor. It's an act of worship. But it's also an action of submission. When he does that, he says, you are my God, and my life is yours. If asking how can I live better is the wrong question, then this leper's action embodies the right question. God, what do you want my life to be about? Let's start there. Real thankfulness is about returning, going out of your way to come back and find Jesus and throw yourself at his feet. And then say thank you. God, my life is yours. What would you have me do? As we head into Thanksgiving and as we head into the Advent season, what difference would it make if that were our first question? What would we do if we committed to showing our thanks to God by asking, God, what would you have me do? As an act of thanks, God, what would you have me do? My life is yours. That's true thankfulness. Then what would it look like in our relationships with one another? I spent some time this past week thinking about the things that I was most thankful about in my memories with my parents. And it kind of surprised me. None of my most thankful memories had to do with presents. None of them. I remembered vacations, the trip across the country in the station wagon where I had sole claim to the, you know, tail gunner seat. I remember going to football games with my dad and my brother. I remember my dad taking me dove hunting, even though he hated hunting, but he knew I liked it. Thought about my mom making amazing meals that we shared together. We're leaving in about an hour and a half to go eat some of those meals this next week. That's the stuff I'm thankful for. It's the stuff of relationships. There was one exception. It was the go-kart. But it was a two-seater, so we got to ride it together. Until I threw my brother out on a sharp turn. We have a video of that one. Let me give you another example without breaking any confidentiality. I'm in a small group here of folks that are a part of this worship community, and I love it. I desperately need it. It is this amazing, safe place for us to just talk about what's going on. And at our last meeting, one person shared this story that was just amazing. A story of thankfulness to God for what God had done. And I was a part of that experience. But for me, when in that circle of relationships, we shared the story to say thanks, it's like the moment that we were thankful for culminated in that moment of sharing the story together. Our thankfulness was cemented when it was a part of our relationship together. It was amazing. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. True thankfulness comes when we value the giver of the gift more than we value the gift. That's what the one leper showed when he came back to find Jesus. As much as he valued what Jesus had done for him, he valued Jesus more. I'm sure the other nine were thankful for the gift. The one who came back valued the giver of the gift. I pray that I can approach all of life that way. As grateful as I am for all the blessings God has given me, as much as I value all the amazing gifts that are a part of my life, I want to value Jesus, the giver of those gifts, more than I value the gifts. And I want to show it by going out of my way to come back to Jesus, to throw myself at his feet and say thanks. Thank you. My life is yours. I'm so thankful. What do you want me to be about? I'm really excited to see how genuine thankfulness inspires us in this Advent conspiracy journey. I'm excited to see how thankfulness expresses itself in the impact we have on local hunger and global thirst. I want to say a little bit about the life of our church, too. I'm hopeful and praying that genuine thankfulness inspires us as a community of faith in the way that we love and care for one another. I really hope this doesn't sound like too much of a stretch, but we're heading into our stewardship campaign, and that creates such a tension in me. Because the message this morning is really all about stewardship. As we ask you to let us know, to fill out a pledge card and let us know how you're going to support the ministries and the mission of our church, I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to fill that card out because you're trying to do better. Sorry. I want you to fill that card out because you're throwing yourself at the feet of Jesus and saying, my life is yours. What do you want me to do? And I really hope that doesn't sound like, I want your money. Our church is doing some amazing things. We are a part of so many great organizations in the community that need our help, and we stand with them. Our church is doing some great things. I mean, look around this room. This worship service didn't exist 14 months ago. I love being here. I love that people are attracted to this. I love that people come here and are getting to know Jesus. And our gesture of thanks is simply saying, God, my life is yours. What do you want it to be about? I hope that compels you to prayerful consideration about how you're going to be a part of the life of our church, not only through through your financial gifts, but also through the gift of your time and your talent. And in January, when we go to Sunday school during 10:30 for our kids, I'm going to ask some of you to make a sacrifice so that we have great teachers for our kids. And I don't mean you miss worship a little bit once in a while. Jesus, my life is yours. What do you want me to do? All of that is stewardship. The things you do for the sake of Christ, even if it doesn't have our church's name on it, that's stewardship. Your involvement in Young Life or in boards and agencies throughout our community, that is your stewardship. I hope and pray that you do that with a heart of thankfulness. God, my life is yours. What do you want me to be about?